Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, December 22nd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas. In fact, I'm excited. I do love the old classics, music.
Yeah.
For the holidays. I really do enjoy those. Some of this new stuff, and that remains to be seen. And there's a lot of good classical and even jazz Christmas songs and so forth. But during the breaks and for two full days, for Wednesday and Thursday, as we will not be doing programs, we're going to be playing the old classics. So if the listeners, they can tune in. I know for shortwave it might be a little bit difficult, unless you have a really good connection. But certainly by computer. You can go to dgscoins.com and listen to the program, or American Voice Radio, or even First Amendment Radio. So there's all your avenues for Christmas music. But AVR is Frank's, and certainly he produces this program, and he does a fine, fine job. So I sent him over a list of songs, and he was able to tweak and twerk and do all kinds of things in order to bring the listeners the great classics of Christmas.
There's so there. No twerking at Christmas, Melody. You can tweak at Christmas, but no twerking.
But we do appreciate everything that Frank does, and he keeps us rolling right along. And so, with that said, did gold roll right along today? We had I heard one of the commentators on CNBC talk about if you were naughty, you would find gold in your stocking. Instead of coal, you would find gold.
Yeah,
and
suits
it's like,
me.
It's just like, sure, give it to me, bring it on. But they'll do everything and anything to certainly
to rub it in.
But
it's just the nature of investments. People make their bets, you know, on one investment vehicle or another.
No, they make
when
their...
your vehicle is running hot and everything's going great, ha, 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 you look out the window and laugh at everybody else. And, you know, it happens. We were laughing at them back when gold was, you know, several hundred dollars higher. We're laughing at stocks. Now they get to laugh at us for a moment. But the question is, who's going to get the last laugh?
Exactly.
And who's not merely going to find this unamusing, but who's going to be wiped out? One thing for absolute certainty, if you're holding on to any gold, you're not going to be wiped out. You can't say that about stocks. You can't say that about bonds. You can be wiped out in paper. You can't be wiped out in physical gold. All right, we can debate where the prices are going, but long term, you know, last man standing, it won't be paper.
Doesn't go to zero. Gold and silver does not go to zero. But gold did go down $2.10 today after it tried all day, and after the numbers here that I'm going to read in a little bit, it's really surprising. I mean, with all the information that came out today, I had expected, man, they're just going to whammy gold today. 210. Even silver had a little bit of a turnaround, not much, 03 at 1581. Platinum was up 12 at 1197. Palladium up 2 at 816. So when you're having a week of light trading and you have the numbers that we're going to talk about here in just a bit, gold, I'm pleased at what gold has done this week. And yes, it's not skyrocketing and it's not, you know, it didn't go up, but, you know, it's at a nice place right now. USDX today up 41.41. 90.12. Crude oil was up 1.76 at 57.02. And of course, the big numbers were made in the paper markets today, which didn't surprise me at all. The Dow closes above 18,000 for the first time, up 64 points at 18,024. Although it is off the high of the days, it was up triple digits and they couldn't keep it. So 18,024. The NASDAQ was down 16 at 4765. The S&P was up 3.63, another record for the S&P, excuse me, at 2082. And the 10-year yield is inching up a little bit, 0.09 at 2.26%. So, you know, when I talked about the numbers, I saw the numbers. I didn't have a chance to really review them. However, now get this number, the gross domestic product soared 5%. On an annual basis in the third quarter.
Happy days are definitely here again.
If you believe it.
Uh-huh.
It is the strongest quarter of growth since 2003. Do you believe it?
Nope. And I don't believe that the previous quarter was the same thing. Basically, here's John Williams talking about the same thing. He says, consider the GDP growth in the third quarter this year, adjusted for inflation, was an annualized 3.9% and 4.6% in the second quarter. That's two back-to-back quarters of roughly 4 percentage points. This is the strongest economy in over a decade, if you believe the government statistics. Yet I'll challenge you to find someone who thinks this is that good of an economy.
It's believable.
It's just not out there. I mean, it's just comical. You look at this. I don't know. You know, this is the sort of thing where government should have rode into town on a covered wagon with signs painted on the side to drink Uncle Obama's magical elixir. It cures all illnesses. You know, it's just snake oil. We are getting nothing but snake oil. And you sit there, you watch, and you laugh, and you... The danger in all of this, as funny and as zany as some of these numbers may seem, the fact that government is lying so blatantly indicates they're desperate. You don't tell these kinds of lies unless you're in big, big trouble. All right? And this isn't a lie that people are likely to believe. At least not anyone who's got any brains. I mean, this is just craziness. And you can't, it's difficult to believe that the government is that crazy. It strikes me as more likely that they are simply desperate, desperate, desperate. Will you people please go out and buy something? There's still another shopping day. You know, those stores will be open tomorrow and the rest of that. Get out there and buy something. Stimulate the economy. And if we tell you enough lies, maybe you'll do it. Who knows?
Well, what's interesting is consumers supposedly ramped up their spending a percent from the previous estimates of 2.2%. It was actually 3.2%. So consumer spending north of 3%, you know, they think it's pretty good these days. So if 3% or consumer is pretty good these days, that means these days are not all that good. So how do you get the 5% of GDP? And defense spending in the third quarter, 16%. Surging
up or down?
Surging 16%.
Did you say defense spending?
Defense spending was a huge driver in the third quarter, surging. It means up 16%.
Yeah, I get that.
So,
well, it may be. I'm not sure how that fits into the gross domestic product, but I'm going to assume that'll help give us some numbers that'll count on this quarter. Who knows, may boost an otherwise bleak quarter. Do you suppose that's true, or is it just improper speculation?
Well, you know, when you don't get real numbers, it's really hard to, you know, sort of make calls on things. I mean, there was housing numbers came out. New mortgages came out today. I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me. I just heard it. And they were not so good. There was two housing numbers that came out today, and neither one of them was very good. So, and one of them was new mortgages or on new homes, I believe. So, you know, the economy just isn't.
Well, it's pretty interesting to me to hear that they've increased defense spending by 60%, because I had an article that I'd clipped in the last week or two. We didn't get around to using it, but one of the newspapers reported that people in the military were under a certain amount of financial stress, and there was stories about one guy needed new boots, and his captain, so sergeant, whatever, said, see if you can stretch him out a couple more months, you know, make him last a couple more months. And they used that to illustrate that there was a problem for finding enough money for the people to pay the people in the military to maintain equipment in the military. There were concerns that some ships would have to be mothballed, one thing another like that. And then we find out they're going to increase spending by 16%. Now, it may be that this 16% is legitimate and it's intended to compensate for the trouble they had, you know, in the previous quarter for the military. Hard to say. That's entirely possible, but it is strange that they're so poorly prepared that if we can judge by one article that I'm only remembering, I can't read it to you right now, but they didn't have enough money to keep some of the ships running. Now all of a sudden they've got a 16% increase. That is surprising. It's unstable. It's evidence of mismanagement at best, or it's evidence that there's something, we're short financially. We don't have enough money to handle these problems. And that's what I think is really going on here. Although they'll cover it up, and who knows how long they can deny reality. But the truth is the government's broke. And it's not a current, it's not an that's not something that's been true for the last week or 10 days. It's technically been true since 1971 when Nixon stopped redeeming the foreign-held dollars for gold. We haven't made any payments. All we do is give people Federal Reserve notes. We don't pay our bills. You know, we talked about this with this guy, Dmitry Kalinichenko, Russian, wrote an article praising Vladimir Putin's strategy for taking whatever money he'd received, foreign currencies, fiat currencies, that he'd received for the sale of Russian crude oil and turning around and buying gold. He was essentially turning his crude oil. He was selling his crude oil for gold. All right. He had to use dollars as an intermediate step to go from crude oil. They gave him dollars, then he took the dollars, and he purchased gold. Dollars were an intermediate step, and the author of the article said he thought this was brilliant that Putin had recognized and learned how to use dollars as an intermediate step. But that's not news. Paper dollars have always been an intermediate step between a sales transaction and an actual payment. Even when the paper dollar was backed by gold, it was an intermediate step. It wasn't a payment. All right? I might have a buckboard for sale. Melody might want to buy the buckboard. Melody gives me paper dollars. People said they're good as gold, but that was never true. It was never true. It was a story that we learned to believe, but we took the dollar, and then I could use a dollar. I used it as if it was a payment. I used it as if I had been paid. I would go to the grocery store and buy groceries and so on. I might buy myself a new horse. Melody has the buckboard. I go buy a new horse. Hard to say what I'm going to do. I'm passing this paper around as if it were a payment, but the truth was, even when that dollar was backed by gold, nobody got paid until they went to the bank and they said, look, I've got a gold certificate here. Give me my gold. When I got the gold, then I was paid. That was true 100 years ago. It's still true today. Right? And we have been taught to think of receiving paper dollars as if they're a payment. We've been conditioned to think that. We've lost memory of the fact that they have always been just an intermediate step. You're not paid until you get gold. That's been the reality of the situation for centuries, arguably. And we're going to see, you know, the article I'm talking about, written by Kalinichenko. If I'm saying his name, I think Kalinichenko, if I'm saying his name correctly. You know, it's important that he's doing this right now, that Russia is essentially trading their fiat currency in for gold. They're spinning gold out of straw, essentially. Right? But it's not news. It's only news because we forgot. Paper was never a payment. It was only a promise to pay. What was the payment? Gold or silver. If you're not getting gold or silver, you're not being paid. Very few people appreciate that. Most people hear me say that. That's crazy talk. You'll see. You'll see. Stick around. Stick around. Time is coming where you say, holy cow! I should have been getting gold and silver instead of stacking up all these paper dollars. I was saving them, and they were never anything more than an intermediate step. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to you, Melody, or the audience, but I see this, and I really do appreciate the article, again, by Dmitry Kalinichenko.
You just like saying his name, Al.
I like trying to say his name. It's one of those things that kind of loosens you up for the rest of the
program. Why don't you just say, hey, that guy from Russia.
That Russian guy.
That Russian guy.
All right, the Russian guy. We're going to take a break for some music, I'm told. And you can sing along if you like. Melody, do you want to sing along?
Maybe.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in 5 and 10, listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls will talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. A sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start.
And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
I think that's the end of the songs.
And we're back.
Okay. We don't know for sure. Frank does this with these songs. We're not sure if he's playing more songs or...
Nope, just
one. It's the end of the song. It just ends, and we are not conditioned. We've been conditioned by other stimuli to know when the commercials end and the program begins. But in this case, we're not quite sure. So in any case, we'll start up. What's next?
I just wanted to add one thing. There was data released today for big ticket items for November, and that declined. So again, you know, and what was so special about that third quarter? I don't remember anything special happening.
Well, you know what I remember is they had that, I believe it was the first quarter of the year. They were negative growth, negative numbers or something. They were down originally by, I don't remember the numbers, but something like 3% down. And then they came back and they re-estimated, and I think they figured it only went up 1.1% or something. I don't recall clearly. But if you did the math, I remember doing an article that said the only way they're going to get out of this, especially when they had the negative numbers to begin with, they're going to have to calculate that the next 3 months, the next three quarters in this country will run in something like 4% in order to balance out for what the terrible number they had in the first quarter. Well, sure enough, second and third quarters, gee, what a miracle. They came up in the neighborhood of 4%. And I'm going to guess, well, we'll watch and see, but perhaps we're going to have another 4% quarter for the fourth quarter. You know, I feel like I'm living in Russia during the communist regime. They fed those people all sorts of false numbers, and they lied to them, and the people knew they were being lied to, and they just got used to it, and they laughed about it on one level. And the standard joke in Russia is they pretend to pay us, and we pretend to work. And it was just, they're not really working, they're not really being paid. Everything was just a joke, an illusion, a pretense. And something like that is happening in this country. And for the former Soviet Union, all those lies and that apparent manipulation, in the end, it didn't work out worth a darn. It helped to collapse their economy. It helped to put them into a decade when their country was dominated by gangs and violence and people were starving. These are the kinds of consequences when you have a government that lies and lies and lies. I mean, government can get away with some lies a little while, once in a while. But when they make a career out of it that spans, you know, 1, 2, 3 administrations, openly lying to people, it's just, there's a price to be paid for these lies. We laugh about them. I laugh about them. I snicker. But in the final analysis, there's a price to be paid for all the lies that do, and that price does not show up on the accounting ledgers right now. And people think, well, it didn't show up on the books. We can tell all lies we want. It didn't show up on the books. It will.
This story came out yesterday, Al. It was a French company that's been hit with a U.S. criminal fine for foreign bribery. This was announced by the U.S. Justice Department yesterday. It's the largest ever. It's an industrial conglomerate, Alstom. They agreed to plead guilty. You don't have to plead guilty in today's age. And they're paying a $772 million fine for tens of millions of dollars in bribes to win business in countries around the world, including Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the Bahamas. And the Deputy Attorney General, James Cole, says that the size of the penalty should send an unmistakable message to other companies around the world. They accused this company and its subsidiaries of falsifying financial records and failing to implement adequate internal controls. The company paid more than $75 million to secure $4 billion in projects around the world, with a profit to the company of approximately $300 million. What I want to know is, how does a U.S. Justice Department go after a French company?
I understand. It's a very interesting question. And it's not just how do they go after them. I mean, did they sue them in a French court or did they sue them in an American court? And I get the impression if it's the United States Department of Justice, they have to be suing, I presume, in an American court. Very strange situation. What do we have to do with these people? And if we're so concerned about them bribing people and telling lies, I wonder how much you could fine the federal government for bribing people and telling lies.
Yeah, the fine and charges were brought under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
FATCA.
FATCA. No.
That's not FATCA.
No. Foreign Corrupt, FCPA. Over the past 2 years, there's been several executives that have been charged, and some have pleaded guilty. So,
why would you plead guilty? You know, somebody's exerting an enormous amount of pressure. Somebody has threatened these people with something far worse than fines of $700 million. They are facing something, and I'm not sure what it was, but the government leaned on these people. You can say not guilty, you say prove it.
They said that prosecutors said that the company bribed. Like this is news that these companies, that a high-ranking member of the Indonesian parliament, like our politicians don't, and high-ranking members of the state-owned electricity company to land a $375 million electricity project. Well, gee, wasn't that something like Enron?
Oh, it's something like Congress, only with Congress we call it political campaigning contributions.
But I did
see that's different. They don't bribe congressmen. They give them political campaign contributions. Corporations take bribes. Congressmen take political campaign contributions. You see?
And you know, it's interesting is they never give the names. High ranking, you know, they'll say they were, you know, high ranking members of the company. Well, who are they? So, you know, it's probably a little bit deeper. Somebody just stepped on somebody's toes. They ended the project and, you know, somebody like Halliburton or something that has to do with Dick Cheney or something like that. You know, maybe they went in and squeezed them out and this is a little bit of a payback and so forth. And they'll probably shake hands and do some kind of deal behind the door anyway. So if you plead guilty, then we'll make sure, you know, I mean, that's amazing in today's world. There isn't anything that's real.
I'd like to know. I'll guarantee you, whatever the story is there, it's the basis for a great novel or a great motion picture.
Yeah.
Someone is throwing a lot of weight around, and people are being threatened one way or another. I mean, who gives up? The numbers you talked about, if I heard correctly, indicated that this French company spent $85 million to buy $4 billion worth of business on which they made $300 million in profits. But now they've turned around and they're paying a fine of $700 million or $770 million or something like that. Why would anyone agree to that in a foreign country? I mean, someone had to really pressure them. And who is even being held responsible? High-ranking officials. Yeah, it's somebody's secretary. And, you know, somebody's secretary and the cleaning lady are being held responsible. The corporation is going to skate. They had to be threatened with criminal penalties on this. But this would make a great motion picture if someone could put the pieces together and show how the pressure was exerted and why people caved. They had to resist. I'd like to see the movie.
But, well, as long as North Korea doesn't hack into it.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, I think that was all a publicity. I do, I believe. Because now I hear that Sony, you know, there was discussions of, you know, the Sony movie pictures was looking to sell, and they were really losing lots of money. And it's just like, you know, you can't ever get the truth out of anything. But it really, whatever it is, whatever the major headline is, that isn't the truth. There's always a much bigger story behind. As Dr. Stan used to say, the story behind the story. And it is so true. Today, the Greek parliament, they failed to elect a new president today, bringing closer the possibility of a snap national elections. And, of course, that could hand the power to a popular anti-austerity party. So, you know, the government there gets one last chance to get its candidate elected by parliament on December 29th. I guess that's next Monday, right, Al?
It's within the next 10
days.
Sure, Melody, yeah.
But so it'll be
sometime between now and the end of the year.
Well, it'll be interesting because the opinion, the polls, and again, these opinion polls, I mean, we saw them in Scotland, you know, where the polls initially says that there was a high amount of people wanting to separate from the UK. Then you had the Swiss about the gold referendum. There was a high amount of folks who wanted that. Now you have a high amount of folks who give the party, I guess it's Syriza, a party that wants to renegotiate the terms of Greece's bailout package, and talking about 240 billion euros with the IMF and the European Central Banks, and certainly they don't want that. So it'll be interesting to see with this elections and if those opinion polls that are giving this a little bit conservative party the lead, if that's how it'll play out on the 29th. But
when you say the little bit conservative party, are you talking about the party that doesn't? That they are against austerity?
Yeah, they want to pull out of the euro.
Well, you know what austerity means. It means they don't want...
Yeah, of course I do.
Austerity means you people have to tighten up your belt so you can pay us what you owe us. And the people against austerity say, to heck with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to pay our bills. Mm-hmm. Are you crazy? But that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
We're seeing people in Greece that are willing to vote for a party that says, we don't want to pay our bills.
But it could lead to a crisis, and
sure
it could lead to Greece leaving the eurozone and also leaving the euro. So
the crisis is already here.
That's correct.
The crisis is that Greece owes more money than Greece is liable to be able to pay. And Greece wants the debt reduced even further, or at least some people do, while the creditors say, no, you need austerity, which means you need to live on less so you can send us more. The crisis is here, and someone's going to get hurt on this. And it's either going to be the people of Greece that are going to pay more than they can afford right now, or it's going to be the creditors who are going to take another haircut, and they're not going to get paid what they loaned. I don't know who's right and wrong in this, but I guarantee you, somebody's going to get hurt. There's not an easy exit on this. Someone's going to be robbed, and their financial status is going to be diminished one way or another. And the reason this is interesting to me, at least, is that it indicates that what we can expect to see in this country before it's all over. We're also in debt for more than we can ever repay. That means there's going to be a crisis in this country, very similar to what we see in Greece, maybe worse. And the crisis will be that the debtors can't repay the creditors. And either the creditors will be in a position of power to say, you lousy debtors are going to have to live in poverty until you pay us off, or debtors are going to be in power and they're going to say, too bad for you. You loaned us the money and you're not getting it back. but someone is going to be hurt. Right? Either creditors or debtors. Maybe. No, it's not just Greece. It's a phenomenon that's all over the world, because I doubt you're going to have a hard time pointing to many Western nations that are already deeply in debt, so deeply in debt that they may not ever be able to get out. Certainly that describes the United States, and it may describe other countries. Japan, they'll never get out of their debt. I don't know what the debt situation is in England, for example, and I can't say for a fact in Euro.
Well, the Eurozone, the Eurozone, the European Union, they'll never get out of their debt.
I mean,
they'll default. I mean, I even saw the talk that Russia might very well default on their debt in 2015.
And if they did, it would break the European Union.
Yep.
They can sit back and they don't even, according to one report and analysis, they said, look, if Russia really gets upset about the sanctions that are being imposed on the Russian economy, there is a tranche of debt that the Russians are scheduled to pay perhaps by the end of this month, but I think first month thereabouts of next quarter, January. If they just come out and say, look, we can't pay you the money right now, all by itself, they are so indebted to Europe that if they were to back off on that payment, they're not default and say, we're never going to pay you. Say, well, we're having a problem right now because of the sanctions, and we can't pay you this installment on our debt. It might be enough to throw the European economy into a overt recession and or depression. You know,
you know what cracks me up is these experts think that the Eurozone is better now able to cope with the Greek crisis, but yet everything else, they're heading into recession, and you know, he's ready to print trillions of euros in order to stimulate the economy. So are they really better now to cope with the Greek crisis than they were, you know, several years ago? And so, I mean, their debt, the Greek yield on the 10-year bonds increased up to 8.25. That's up from 7.8 a month ago. So, yeah, the signs are there. So it'll be interesting to see how these elections play out.
It will all be interesting. Whatever gets us, it won't be boredom. You know, we definitely live in interesting times, and it's not like we'll be sitting on the rocking chair wondering, gee, I wonder if there'll ever be any news. Oh, news is pouring in minute by minute, practically. Almost impossible to keep up with it. We've talked about it before, but there's an information overload. The rate of news for the economies and for Nash geopolitics seems to be accelerating. Who can make a prediction right now? Who can really? You know, we're going to see all sorts of people making predictions for what will happen in 2015. It's a national sport. We do it, and we'll probably engage in it ourselves before this month is over. But who can really predict what's going to happen over the course of the next 12 months? Do you think anyone's really able to do that right now? I mean, I'm not convinced that anyone can make meaningful predictions that are, you know, absolutely reliable for the next 30 days. The whole thing is just becoming stranger and stranger. About all you can do is sort of hang on. It's like being on a roller coaster ride. Throw your arms up in the air and say, "Wee!"
Wee!
I think we are going to take some more Christmas music right now. We are Alfred Adusk and Melody Cedarstrom here on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ding, dingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with a song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We snuggle close together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending of a perfect day. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop. At the fireplace where we'll watch the chestnuts pop. Pop, pop, pop. There's a happy feeling nothing in this world can buy. When they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie, it nearly be like a picture print by Korea and I. These wonderful things are the things we remember. Of a wintry fairyland. Nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We snuggle close together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. It's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom, coming into our last, we're in our last program before Christmas and kind of enjoying it. I'm enjoying the Christmas music. I actually am.
It's my selection.
And I don't know, I hear a lot of Christmas music that I don't really care for. But this, you know, the songs I've heard so far, I like them. Yeah. And it's kind of odd. I kind of enjoying Christmas. In a way that, I don't know, it's at my age, it's not something you generally enjoy the same way you did when you were younger. And for some reason, I feel like I'm enjoying Christmas. And I'm not even expecting a pony, you know, so it's interesting. We've got a caller, Jim from West Virginia. Jim, have you got the sleigh greased up and ready to roll? Going to go making snowmen or anything
yeah,
like that?
Right. Yeah, right. Well, you were talking about enjoying Christmas. I loved it as a little kid. But then when we had little children, yeah, it was fun to watch them this and the other, but it became an insane asylum. And I was always thankful that it quit. But I don't like the commercial aspect of Christmas, but I do love the music. Okay, I only have two little points to make today. One is, there is no such thing as defense spending. You know, you said it's up 16%. It's offense. We don't have a Department of Defense.
Yeah, that's right.
We have a Department of Offense. Not only that, but 1823, the Monroe Doctrine went into place. That was to play our troops in all these countries to back up the counterfeiters, the shadow governments in all these different countries. If you look back at recent history, we didn't have troops in Syria. They weren't part of the Anglo-American banking system, counterfeiting system. We didn't have troops in Libya. They were having their own banking system, not part of the Anglo-American counterfeiting banking system, so-called banking. We did not have troops in Iran because they were independent of the Anglo-American, quote, banking system, counterfeiting system. We did not have troops in Iraq because they were, folks, I'm going to tell you something. These banksters cannot survive without the help of the military. And not only that, just so you'll know, guys out there, the Federal Reserve came here to bankrupt our country and thus destroy the government, to destroy the military. So to do that, it's food for thought to tell over. Out there in the military, I respect the men, but not the mission, as we said. Now, that's point one. Point two, you said 5% GDP, according to elect governments. Well, okay, so gross domestic product, according to them, is 5% more this year, the third quarter, than last year, third quarter. Well, let's say 8 to 9% inflation, so not to mention the tax increase. So basically, we had yet another quarter of a shrinking economy.
Yeah.
Now, if it just corrected every stinking quarterly or whatever report for real inflation, you would see that we basically have been in a depression for decades. As you say, Alfred, pretty much once we slid off the silver and gold system, and it became much more attractive to borrow because of inflation and less attractive to save because of inflation. The only note that I currently see at Christmas is this. If you look at the back of the Virginia State Seal, it says, Sic Semper Tyrannis, and it shows basically a productive farmer-type dude, looks like a working guy, with his foot on the chest of a military-type dude. Sic Semper Tyrannis, that is, with tyrants. Another way of phrasing it would be, this is what always happens to tyrants.
Yeah.
The whole system is built on so many lies, it has to fail.
But what's the other point there? There's another point to that seal that you're looking, or the back side of the seal. When they say Sic Semper
Tyrannis,
they are implicit and incorporating that as part of the seal, or at least the reverse on the state seal. They're saying that there is always a threat of tyranny. Tyranny isn't something that we got rid of back when we had the American Revolution, and now everything's just copacetic. Tyranny is a fundamental objective of virtually every government the world has ever seen. If they can get away with it, they'll try to subject their people, our people, to tyranny. And the only way is to don't buy it, guard against it, and perhaps you'll be able to save your own liberty and that of this country.
Well, tyranny begins and ends in the mind, number one. Definition of tyranny. I'm supposed to go to the modern definitions. I could just scream. Something to be said for old dictionaries. But tyranny, when those who are to be our protectors become oppressors.
Yeah.
Tyranny, slavery to government. If you look down through the centuries, all the way back to Old Testament times, speaking out against sin, particularly on the part of the government, has been a very dangerous activity. The governments of the time slaughtered all the Old Testament prophets except for one. The governments of their time made Socrates drink hemlock of poison because he told the truth about government. The feudal governments all across the world, if you offend the queen or the king, it's off with your head. Chop. And if you look at the Jesus of Nazareth, he had his little run-in with the law. I've said this before. Look at the apostles. So, folks, tyranny has always been a bit of a pill to deal with, because criminals will murder you for telling the truth. But if enough of us stand up together, they can't take us all out. The one thing I must say is in our favor is it cannot continue to stand forever, but just batten down the hatches. You heard it a blue million times or a broken record. Food, water, means of protecting it, gold, silver, tangible assets, good neighbors. So, folks, that around Christmas time this year, reach out to your neighbors. You'll find a lot of them are hurting. And you may find that you might need each other. So you do a wonderful job, folks. And just keep up the good work. Love to you and yours. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Jim.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Let me say it, too, Al. Merry Christmas, Jim. And thank you for reminding us that there are other folks out there that might not be as fortunate as what we all are. So you're right. We need to reach out and help and you know, as you said, we will need to depend on one another in the future.
And you also
Merry
need
Christmas.
To depend. Yeah, Merry Christmas. But you also need to learn to depend on yourself.
Absolutely.
And part of the reason for that is because the people you rely on in government are lying and lying and lying to you. You're going to have to learn how to open your own eyes and try to figure out what the truth is for yourself. And when you can do that, in the end, it'll make you a stronger person. But it's kind of scary stuff to sit back and say, well, I'm going to trust what I see and what I hear rather than what I'm being told to think and believe by the government. I'm going to look around, use my own eyes, my own ears, make up my own mind, take responsibility for my decisions. It's the first step for becoming free people again. You know, you have to take that personal responsibility. And that'll be something for all of us to consider for New Year's resolutions coming up. I wonder if we could get a resolution where all the people in the United States of America agreed, 2015, I'm going to be more personally responsible. You think that resolution would fly with the majority of Americans, Melody?
Well, I don't think any resolution ever works, so no.
Oh, I understand.
So no, that one won't even work.
Yeah, that one, they won't get any traction. Okay. How about my resolution is like, I plan to eat more ice cream in 2015. How about that one? Who's with me? I'll bet we could get that one to work. All right? At least a pint more ice cream per week. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I can do that one.
Yeah, we can all do that.
I can do that one. That was an easy one. Yeah. But even after a while, it would probably get very old, very boring, and, you know, you couldn't fit through your front door anymore, so you'd have to quit that one. So, again, another failed resolution.
Well, what can I tell you? At least it'd be a fun resolution. Even if it failed, it would be a kind of a fun resolution. Most of these other resolutions, that's the problem with most resolutions. They're really not all that fun. You know, we need to start focusing on fun resolutions. But, you know, it's unfortunate that here we come into the, you know, Christmas season, happy holidays and rest of that. And you got to ask yourself, what do we have to be happy about? And one of the things that might be an answer to that question is our ability to prepare for what may be coming our way. You know, it's not unreasonable. You can't. It's hard to get gleeful and merry and the rest of that sort of thing based on the idea that I've got enough food and water and guns and ammo and gold and silver just in case things go south. That's not the sort of thing we'll hear about in the Christmas song. They're talking about chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Well, that's fine. If you got plenty of chestnuts, good. But what if you got plenty of guns? What if you got plenty of gold? What if you got plenty of food? It may be that this is the kind of Christmas where that'll be one of the things where we kind of count our blessings and say, I'm ready, you know, and hope that we are. What have we got, Melody? Minute and a half, something like that?
About a minute and a half.
All right. Anything you'd like to add?
No, not really.
Right.
I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm finished. I'm ready for Christmas. Yeah, you know what? You know what, Al? You said something a little bit before about how you're enjoying Christmas this year.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised.
Yeah, and you know, I feel the same way for some reason. And I don't think in the length of time that I've been doing these programs, we played a lot of Christmas music. We whistled, but...
Not we.
We.
You. You we. Whistled.
No, it's going to be a wee deal.
It was a searing experience. I mean, I still have to see a therapist on a regular basis because of that. But go ahead.
But, you know, maybe it's, you know, coming to the end, and I really do believe 2015 is going to be a difficult year for a lot of folks. It might not start out that way, but I think by the end of next year, we're going to be looking and viewing things a lot differently. And I hope we can still experience the enjoying the holiday season next year.
Oh, you just got to learn to enjoy life. And
enjoy life. You got to live it.
Enjoy the downs as much as the ups.
Mm-hmm.
They're both here. They're all part of it. You can't be afraid of it. You got to get into it. Well, most of us will survive through this. We're out of time, folks. We want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back After, I guess, Friday. Melody, are we coming back on Friday?
We will be here Friday.
All right. Have a Merry Christmas, folks. We want to thank you
Merry
for
Christmas.
Listening. Melody and I are, well, out of time. We'll be back shortly. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, Jim from West Virginia, and all the other people who call in on the program from time to time. And those of you who listen, thank you.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gone to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.